Hey, 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 and welcome back to Burnoutology, the podcast with me, your host, Kelly Swingler, the Burnoutologist. Today, we are working through our second truth, second of 200 truths from the Burnout Glossary. And today we are talking about resilience porn. Resilience porn. So, resilience porn, what is it? What does it mean? Well, it means that it is this glorification of pushing through pain, right? It's hustling through trauma. It's smiling through burnout. And we spot it by, like, when we keep to, like, just keep going, right? Keep pushing through. You've got this. You've got this, right? You don't break, right? Strong people don't break. We just keep on going. Rest when you're done. All of those things, you'd have heard it. You've probably said it. You've probably thought it. All of these things, right, we dress it up as motivation, but actually it's toxic, right? And it matters. It genuinely matters because it's killing people. It's absolutely killing people. I mean, it's not killing people. It's making them really seriously ill. It's pushing people to the point of burnout. And we're literally praising people for it, right? We're praising people for their ability to just keep on going. We are praising and congratulating people for being really seriously ill and going on regardless. We're praising and thanking people for not letting that family crisis get in the way of the project completion. Right? We're seeing it. We're hearing it. We're living it. And a lot of this is due to work cultures. Right, a lot of it is due to work cultures and a lot of stuff that we need to change. But this is what we're going to talk about in a bit more detail today. Whether you are a newbie, a burnoutology newbie, or whether you are a returner, right, thank you very much for being here. As I said, this is Burnoutology, the podcast. And I think for maybe the next 199 episodes, we are going, if the podcast lasts that long, not so much, I'm hoping I last that long. But yeah, we've got 200 episodes, at least 200 titles that we're going to be talking through. You can find the 200 truths in the Burnout Aware Starter Kit. If you head to kellyswinkler.com, you can get the 200 truths in the starter kit. You'll find that on my homepage. And if you would like the podcast companion, where you can create space for all of your show notes, all of your aha moments, your learning, your lessons, your challenges, if you've got anything that you want to kind of come and challenge me on, pop that in the notes. Let me know and let's see what we can do to go through. But you can get your podcast companion at kellyswingler.com/podcast, and you can access your 200 truths, the podcast companion, where you can keep all of your show notes in one place, and you'll be able to see what's coming up in future episodes if you've got future questions that you would maybe like to ask. You can pop those in there as well. So, resilience porn, we've said it. If you listen to last week's episode, actually a lot of what I was kind of living and experiencing was exactly that, right? This just need to keep on going. But I want to, I suppose where I want to start today, again, if you're new here, this whole thing, right, is unscripted, uncut, unedited. You just get my brain dump as I go through it. And sometimes I think I'm going to go in one direction and then I get talking and I go in something completely different. I need to monitor the time again, because these are getting longer and longer, and I want to try and keep them around the kind of 20 minute mark. So I need to keep an eye on the time. But with this particular one, I want to start by even just getting us to think about what we mean by resilience, right? What we mean by resilience. I have not seen, I can't remember the last time that I'm not looking for jobs, but I do still keep an eye on the job market. I want to know what's happening. I want to know what people are asking for. I like to just kind of look at what people are asking for and what does the job reflect the salary? Are people even giving salaries? What are we looking at in terms of home working, hybrid working, flex working? We're still trying to get everybody back into the office all the time, outdated and ridiculous, not needed. I think my fascination with that, like I I was a C-suite HR director, right, by the time my first burnout took hold. And I was a C-suite HR director in an organization of about 4,000 people by the time I was 30. I'd started my career 12 years prior to that. I Over an 8-year period, I'd had 7 promotions. I'd added over £100,000 to my salary. In 2002, I was focused on individualism in the workplace. In 2008, I scrapped annual performance appraisals. In 2010, I started burning the handbook and ripping up policies, and I wanted people before policies, and doing all of this amazing stuff. And so I suppose my fascination with some of these job adverts is still about the fact that stuff that wasn't working 25 years ago, some employers are still asking for and still putting in job specs. I'm just like, we need to change it, right? We absolutely need to change it. But I still very often see resilience as like a personal requirement for the job. And I think we've got to start by rethinking. We almost need to redefine what we mean by resilience. Because what I see when I'm coaching, when I'm doing one-to-one coaching with leaders who have got to the point of burnout, one of the first things they will say to me, either in our initial conversation or in their first session or first couple of sessions, is that clearly they weren't as resilient as they thought. Oh, I thought I was more resilient than this. Thought I was more resilient than this. And burnout isn't about a lack of resilience. But what I'm also seeing, and this is some of this toxicity, right? This is this resilience porn. What a lot of leaders and managers and individuals are talking about when they talk about resilience, and the fact that resilience training, gets pulled out of the bag every so often, is that we need to give all of our people resilience training. A lot of the time, it's not resilience that they need. You don't need to be investing in more resilience training. What you need to be doing is putting the right systems and support into your organization, not continuing to tell people that they just need to be more resilient. Because what a lot of you are doing, what a lot of leaders are doing, what a lot of us as individuals are doing, I just need to be more resilient, right? I've just got to keep going. And yet, we don't have the right resources, the right support, the right coaches, the right team, the right money, the right working hours, the right culture. We don't have a safe space for communicating effectively, for communicating openly, for being honest, for trusting one another. It's toxic. And yet we go, here's some resilience training because you just need to keep going. And what a lot of leaders, I genuinely believe, what they mean is when they put resilience in a job spec, what they mean is you just got to keep going, whatever crap we throw at you. Because we're not going to fund support. We're not going to fund coaches. We're not going to give you the right resources. You're not going to have enough people in the team. Half our systems are broken. The culture's toxic, but you need to be resilient. Because actually, if you fail in this environment, we can say you just weren't resilient enough. We put resilience on the job spec. Clearly, you didn't pay enough attention to that, did you? And we're using this word resilience almost like as a stick to beat people with. And then when people get to burnout, and I see leaders talking about this all the time, well, they're not resilient enough. All of us only have so much capacity to deal with and come back from shit repeatedly over and over and over again. Right? We talk about the fact, well, like resilience is you get knocked off the horse, you get back on, you get knocked on the horse, you get back on, you get knocked on the horse, you get back on. And actually, resilience needs to be sometimes realizing it's not the right horse. Well, you should never have been on the horse in the first place. And that's the bit that we miss, but we've created this kind of toxic understanding of what resilience is, and we do use it as a stick to beat people with. And when one-to-one, when leaders come and work with me or any of the burnout aware coaches now that I've trained in the academy, when the leaders come to work with them, repeatedly, what I'm hearing, well, I just clearly wasn't as resilient as I thought, right? We start to blame ourselves for not being that resilient. And yet, when we think about it, we have been resilient for months, for years in some cases. We have kept on going. We have worked through illness, we have worked through pain, we have worked through bereavements and loss and illness and family issues and family challenges and divorce and all sorts of, personal trauma, personal illness, personal issues. We have worked through the same broken crap and toxic cultures day in and day out. We've put up with being bullied and sidelined and siloed. We've put up with budgets being cut time and time and time again. We're putting up with broken policies, broken systems, broken platforms. We're putting up with leaders that aren't giving us clarity, that aren't communicating, that really don't give a toss about us. We're putting up with toxic cultures where well-being is, here's a free gym membership. But actually, the toxic environment is not a place for us to be a well-being in the first place. We're misusing the word resilience, just like in a lot of cases, we are misusing the word burnout. We have almost weaponized the word resilience. And if you're not resilient enough, that's on you. Right, that's basically what we're being told. Right? Whilst this motivation that is, being dressed up as resilience porn, right? All of this stuff that is literally being thrown, well, you just need to be more resilient. You should be more resilient. Here's five ways to be more resilient. Here's three ways to be more resilient. Here's your resilience training. This is how you need to know how to be more resilient. There's only so much that any of us can do in broken places, right? If you smash, right, I've got my cup of tea with me, right? If I smash my cup, and there is that beautiful, isn't it? What's it called? But there is that art, isn't there? If something breaks, you like repair it with the gold. I don't know what it is, but it's like, yeah, how the light gets on or something. But there is that beautiful art, isn't there, right? How you repair pots and vases and plates and stuff with this beautiful I don't know, is it like a gold glue or something, right? So you can kind of get the stitches back together. But there's only going to be so long and have so many times. If I smash the cup today and it gets put back together beautifully, but then I smash the cup again next week, at some point, some of those really fragile pieces, the small pieces that get shattered, that get lost, that get broken. At some point, the entire structure of the cup is changed. So I can keep smashing the cup, I can keep dropping the cup, and I can keep rebuilding it. But at some point, there's not enough of the original cup left for me to say that it is the cup, right? The same cup. Every time it crashes, every time it breaks, small fragments of it are going to be getting lost and broken. They're going to become irreparable. And every single time we have a fall, that's kind of what happens. Now, sometimes, yes, we do rebuild stronger. Sometimes, yes, if we have been, rebuilt with whatever the beautiful gold stuff is, right, that makes these vases and plates and bowls and stuff look really beautiful. But at some point, it weakens the original integrity, right? It weakens the original piece. And this is the bit that so many of us are missing. But we keep thinking that resilience is about the crashes. But what most workplaces are not doing is finding ways to ignore the crash in the first place. They're not fixing the things that are causing the crashes. They're throwing things at us that cause a crash. And just expecting us to keep going. And that's why, and genuinely what I believe that most of these job descriptions are asking for when they speak about resilience. Because we're just going to keep chucking stuff at you, and you just need to keep going. Without the support, without the pay, without the hours, without the management, without the coaching, without the breaks, without anything, right? We're just going to literally keep chucking stuff at you. And what they mean by resilience is you need to keep going, whatever crap we throw at you, whatever the situation, you just need to keep going. They're almost preempting the toxicity that you're going to be dealing with, right? So that they can blame you or extend your probation period or sack you a year down the line and say, well, you just weren't good enough. Just weren't good enough. And you start to believe that. And then you said, well, I wasn't resilient enough for that type of organization. Maybe this isn't the right sector for me. Maybe this isn't the right level for me. Maybe this isn't the right job for me. So you start rethinking all of your life choices because the environment that you were in was glorifying this resilience porn. You must keep working 23 minutes and 23 hours and 59 minutes of the day. Otherwise, you're just not resilient enough. You must never take a holiday. Otherwise, you're just not resilient enough. You must never ask for a break. You're just not resilient enough. You must not have a life outside of work. If you do, you're just not resilient enough. What do you mean you've worked for 10 days straight and now you're expecting a day off? Clearly, you're just not resilient enough. What do you mean that we haven't funded any of the team members that have left for you? What do you mean that we've cut your budget but told you to keep going anyway, and now you're asking for an additional team member? Clearly, you're just not resilient enough. Right? This is what's happening. This is the toxicity that's spreading. And yet this resilient, just keep going. Of course you can do it with only half the team. Of course you can work through that family issue, right? Work might help to take your mind off it. So we're really pleased that you're like, let us know what you need. Here's all of the stuff that we need to take your mind off this horrible stuff that you're experiencing at the moment. Oh, we really appreciate it. We know you're recovering from an operation, and we so appreciate you going through these board papers to stop you getting bored whilst you should be recovering. Thanks ever so much. Oh my God, the fact that you've just worked so solidly for a year. Missed your kids' birthdays, missed Christmas. Oh, but we so appreciate you. We so appreciate you. And we're going to give you exactly the same thing again for next year. But if you fail next year, you're just not resilient enough. Right? This is what's happening. This is what we're seeing, and it needs to stop. So resilience porn, that is our second of our 200 truths from the burnout glossary. Resilience porn, what it really means. It is the glorification of pushing through pain, hustling through trauma, smiling through burnout. How to spot it. Keep going. Oh, come on. Strong people like you don't break. Rest when you're done. All of those things are dressed up as motivation. And why this matters, because it's killing people and they're being praised for it. That is this week's episode of Burnoutology. That has been Resilience Porn. Do let me know if you've got questions, aha moments, anything that you want to share. As I said, you can get your Burnout Companion at kellyswingler.com/podcast. You can get your Burnout Aware Kit, Burnout Aware Starter Kit at kellyswingler.com. Head to the homepage of Kelly Swingler. You will find the Burnout Aware Starter Kit, which again gives you these 200 truths as well as a video, hopefully to start your, I hate the word journey, but to start your burnout aware journey. Because whilst not everybody, whilst not all of you want to work with burnout, whilst not all of you want to specialize in burnout, we do need to know that with the amount of people that are reaching burnout at the moment, burnout is in the room, whether we're able to spot it or not. And when we know better, right, when we have the burnout awareness, we can do better for ourselves, for our teams, for our clients. We do better when we are burnout aware coaches, and we can stop burnout in its tracks. Absolutely stop burnout in its tracks. And if we can stop it, this is where we really, really start to create the change. Thanks very much for joining me again this week. Again, I can tell you, look at me being all organized. I can tell you that next week we are talking about growth talks. Growth talks is our third truth of 200. I will be back with you again, same time next week, Tuesdays at 7 a.m. You can listen, hopefully soon, hopefully now, by the time this is live, you can listen on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also watch the video live on YouTube. 7 a.m. every single week, Burnoutology, the podcast. And next week, we are talking about growth talks. I will see you then. Go and have an amazing, amazing week. Take care for now. Bye-bye.